The crowd is electric. There's a real air of anticipation today. And here it comes, our midfield general, the new Hyundai Tucson Go Edition SUV, proving that it's equipped to deal with anything. Packed with extra kit, including sat-nav with live traffic updates to help you stay on the ball, plus our ever-present 5-year unlimited mileage warranty to keep you match fit. But football fan or not, with Hyundai you can all make the most of our World Cup Tucson Go Edition. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Warranty T's and C's apply.
Friday, April 27th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. We are right here in the Mile High City. You know, we get together every single weekday, we talk sports, we try to bring you a dose of common sense, might just have a hint of sarcasm here or there, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. We made it through another week, got to Friday now, the weekend is well within sight. You know, you might not realize this, but today, April 27th, is National Babe Ruth Day. I had no idea. Babe Ruth or Baby Ruth? I'm a pretty big Baby Ruth fan, actually. No, it's Babe Ruth. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. The Sultan of Swat, the Great Gambino. I mean, he did put up some serious records that stood for a long time. Sure, he did it against nothing but, you know, white players. So I don't know if it's that impressive, but he did do some good things.
Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
Well, now see, that's not necessary at all. You can't say that on National Babe Ruth Day. It is a day to honor the man. But yeah, we were all kind of thinking it, weren't we? Hey, if you would like to contact us, let us know how you're going to be spending your weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are also at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we've got a number of things to get to. We've got to recap that NFL draft that we saw last night. Some interesting things going on there. Plus, we will have a brief weekend preview. And as we do every single Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, a staple of the show since it began. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, but you know that you have to tune in for that. But before we get to any of that, we are joined right now by a very special guest. We have our Daily Dose March Madness Pick'em Champion. Erica from Denver joins us right now. Erica, thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose, and congratulations on winning the March Madness Bracket Challenge.
Thank you so much.
Now, you did pretty well all through the bracket, which is crazy because there were so many upsets this year, but you had Villanova winning the whole thing. Are you like a big college hoops fan?
So, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't follow college hoops at all.
Okay.
So, our friend, we went to brunch a couple weeks ago, and it was on TV. We were watching it. I told him there was a bracket at work. And we talked about some of the teams, and I took some notes from him. And then I went home and just finished it out on my own with some gut feelings, made some changes, and just ran with it.
Is this friend Big Rob? Is that who we're talking about right now?
Yes, Big Rob.
So Rob actually helped you a little with your bracket?
Yes, he did.
Because you can totally deny it if you want to. Like, you can take full credit for your bracket if you want to. You don't have to give him 1 ounce of credit.
Okay, so my bracket was done 100% by me. Rob paid me to say that.
Thank you. Thank you 100%. That is awesome. But you didn't just win our bracket. You actually won your bracket at work, too, didn't you?
Yes, I won my bracket at work, which paid me $150.
Like, you're rolling. Yeah. You need to be doing these college brackets every single year.
I probably should, in Vegas.
Do you usually fill out a bracket for March Madness?
Yes, I usually do. I do every year.
Do you have success, or is this like a one-time thing?
This is a one-time thing. What's great about the one at work is my boss talks a lot of crap to everybody.
Okay.
And in fact, his name in his bracket is King of Smack.
Oh, he's one of those guys.
Yeah. And he would come in and tell us that he wasn't watching any of the games because he was going to win the whole thing and it didn't matter. And, you know, I told him I won, you know, one of the games, and he said, oh, don't worry about it. You're going to be buying me beer, you know, with the money. And so to beat him with all that smack talk is probably one of the best things ever.
Ooh,
and I'm brand new. I've been at this company for 2 months.
Ooh, I'll bet that was particularly sweet to actually beat him there.
Yeah, it was nice.
Did you have any kind of a strategy that you followed? Did you just have certain teams that you locked in on? How was it that you managed to win not just our bracket, but the bracket at work as well?
I guess, you know, I kind of went with my gut. Like I said, I had my original team that I picked out, and then, you know, I expected some upsets, and I just kind of went with my gut. I don't have a real strategy that I followed. I didn't do a ton of research. I just predicted some upsets and went with that.
Erica, let me tell you this. What you did there is exactly how you should fill out a bracket. We say it every year on the show. We say, go with your gut. Don't overthink it. You did exactly what you should do. You went with your gut and said, I'm going to pick these. I'm going to pick a couple upsets. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to go with that. And that is how you win your March Madness bracket.
That's great.
Let me ask you a question. Are you like a sports fan in general? Do you follow any sports? Is there any teams that you're a fan of?
Yeah, I absolutely love to watch the NFL, and I am a huge fan of the Denver Broncos.
Oh, see, I knew there was a reason that I liked Erica. Right there, we've got a Denver Bronco fan here. Are you a little bit nervous about this upcoming season?
I am, yes, but I'm always positive and hopeful, but very nervous.
Are there any teams out there that you really despise, that you just can't stand?
I would go with the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, really? You hate the Chargers?
I hate the Chargers. I hate Philip Rivers, and I hate the entire team.
I love that. Is there any specific reason, or he just like gets on your nerves?
So they've always have kind of gotten on my nerves. And okay. I recently just moved back to Denver from San Diego.
Oh, so you have some history back there. Okay.
Yeah, there's some bloody history.
Oh, yeah.
So I lived out there for 3 years. And I lived out there when the Broncos won the last their last Super Bowl.
Sure.
And we would have, just like here in Denver, you know, the Browns have a bar, the Packers have a bar. In San Diego, we had a couple bars, too. But it's such a transplant city that there's so many different teams with bars there in San Diego. And we're at our bar and on the beach there, and when they won, we took our Bronco flags and walked up and down the beach, and we were yelled at by Charger fans said that we were being disrespectful of the city that we were in because we were walking around with our Broncos flags.
Which is super ironic from a city that can't support their own team, but whatever.
Yeah. And it's not like they were in the Super Bowl.
No.
You know, like if I was in North Carolina, maybe it's kind of right. Like, hey, I'm in your city and we beat you.
Right.
But, you know, so, and it's such, like I said, it's a huge transplant city. There's a big military presence there.
Right.
A lot of people move and come and go. And so it's not a lot of Charger fans there. I mean, I'm sure you know when the Broncos went to play in San Diego, there's more Bronco fans at the game than there were Charger fans.
Absolutely.
So I just feel like they should have, you know, just been like, hey, good job, guys, not telling us that we were disrespectful on the day that we won the Super Bowl, you know?
Right, right. No, I totally get that. Well, Erica, I have to say, first off, I enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad to hear you're a Bronco fan, but I wanted to have you come in on the dose, personally congratulate you on winning our March Madness Bracket Challenge. Remember, we do have a Daily Dose prize. We have the Daily Dose fax machine that you can have on loan until our next contest. It's not small. It's not sleek. But it is a fully functioning fax machine if you would like to, you know, borrow it and send out a few faxes. We can totally make arrangements to get that to you.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What happens if it gets damaged in my possession?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if you can damage it. Like, this thing's a tank. I don't know if there's a whole lot you can even do to it. You could back it over with a car. It's going to hurt the car.
Yeah, so I'm
going to
pass on that.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like in the middle of moving and
stuff.
Yeah, so.
No, I understand. I understand completely. Maybe next time, though.
For sure.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the Daily Dose. Congratulations to you for winning the March Madness bracket. That, you know, that means you're going to have to come back and defend your title. I hope you realize that.
Oh, absolutely. I will be back next year to take that fax machine home where it belongs.
Perfect. Erica, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Hey, coming back, we will be recapping last night's NFL draft. Plus, we do still have to get to our Daily Dose top five. We've still got a lot to get to today on the Daily Dose. Let's get to that 2018 NFL draft that did begin last night in Arlington, Texas. First off, did you watch the start of the draft? Or did you just kind of tune in wherever and just kind of look at your team's pick? If you watched the start of the draft, you saw NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell walk out on stage. Can we stop having him go out and address the crowd? That was absolutely brutal. NFL fans hate Roger Goodell. I mean, and I know he's an easy target. Anything that goes wrong with the NFL, we blame Roger Goodell. Hey, he's just the spokesperson for the owners. Trust me, he's not making any of those decisions, I don't think. I think he's being told pretty much everything to do, but can we stop having him go out and make the speeches? He doesn't need to do that stuff. The draft is down in Dallas Cowboys territory. Wouldn't you have, like, I don't know, Roger Staubach go up and get everything started? Stop having Goodell do these things. It is so distracting that he could walk out there and no matter what he says, I don't even hear it because everybody is booing. Like, you don't hear anything he says. Everyone is just booing as hard as they possibly can. There's no point in having him deliver any sort of a speech. If he walked out there and Roger Goodell was like, hey, next year we've decided to play a 34-week season. Boo! Like, no one even hears what it is that he's saying. Okay, enough about that. On to the draft. You know, going into the draft, I had one thought. I had one thought as we went into this draft. Looking at how it's set up, looking at where everyone was picking, who got to select where, all of those things. The biggest thing that I kept thinking was this. There's no way this year that the Cleveland Browns can screw this up, right? Oh, yes, they can.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
Quarterback, Oklahoma.
It is Baker Mayfield.
Hey, do not underestimate the Cleveland Browns' ability to screw things up completely. Yes, that clip came from ESPN last night. Hey, I like Baker Mayfield.
You're my boy, Blue!
I do. But the top pick in the NFL draft? You must be outside your mind. And slow down on the, hey, new Browns GM, John Dorsey, he knows what he's doing. Don't second guess him. If he says it's Baker Mayfield, then it's Baker Mayfield. Don't second guess him. You might not realize this, but he picked Patrick Mahomes last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, I'm still not completely sold on Patrick Mahomes. I know that Patrick Mahomes has already been anointed the next great thing, but let's not forget that Patrick Mahomes' claim to fame right now, and the reason that the Chiefs traded away Alex Smith, is the fact that he beat a Denver team that had quit. That's actually not that impressive. Looks like he has some skills. There's definitely some upside there, but slow down on Patrick Mahomes as the next Aaron Rodgers. Yes, John Dorsey drafted Patrick Mahomes. We'll see how he turns out. Let's also remember this. John Dorsey also drafted Aaron Murray and Kevin Hogan. You're not exactly like Bill Walsh or Ozzie Newsome or something. Slow down on the whole, how dare you second guess John Dorsey. Baker Mayfield, top pick of the entire draft. You're telling me, out of all of the players in college football, I know that we say that we hand the Heisman out to the most outstanding player. You're telling me Baker Mayfield was the greatest player coming out in this draft? I'm not so sure about that. Next up, the New York Giants take Saquon Barkley, outsmart everyone by doing so. The New York Giants looked at this draft and said, hey, don't get cute, take the best player. That's what they did. Why do you just know Saquon Barkley is going to make the Giants look much, much different next year? Just have a feeling. Let's see, the New York Jets, they took quarterback Sam Darnold out of USC at 3 and pretty much doom him to a career of sucking.
Aww.
Hey, Sam, It's been fun. But we have seen the New York Jets wreck better quarterbacks than you. It just goes with the territory. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do about it. That was a pick number 3. The Cleveland Browns came back up at pick number 4, and they took Ohio State cornerback Denzel Ward. Again, best player in the draft is who? Maybe it's Saquon Barkley. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they go out and they get Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward with the top 4 picks. Biggest rule when selecting talent in football, build from the inside out. Build closest to the football. So I want to build offensive line, defensive line, then quarterback, and move my way out. Not build out at cornerback and build my way in. The Browns have so many issues, and I don't know that they really address that many of them. Another mistake. Don't like that one. My Denver Broncos were up at pick number 5, and they surprised everyone, including me, and took North Carolina State defensive end Bradley Chubb to play opposite Von Miller. Hey, I like Chubb a lot. He's a legit edge rusher. I have to give John Elway a little bit of credit for that pick. And yet, because you knew I was going to say something, right? Didn't we just hear 3 years ago that Shane Ray was going to be that edge rusher opposite Von Miller? So is Bradley Chubb really the guy? And if so, then was Shane Ray a mistake? Do we need to dump Shane Ray now? Was Shane Ray a wasted pick? Because we just heard this a couple of years ago, right? Now they got another edge rusher opposite Von Miller. We just heard that. I think Bradley Chubb is pretty good. I like the pick. I'm not quite sure what you do with Shane Ray. It seems that the Buffalo Bills kept those racist Josh Allen tweets in their back pocket, knowing full well that he would fall to a spot where they could make a move for him. And, I mean, that is a pretty smart move when you think about it. They had the racist tweets. Apparently, they just held on to him until the night before the draft, let those bad boys out. Josh Allen falls down where Buffalo can trade and get him. Hey, that's a pretty good move. And here's a bonus. Buffalo doesn't mind racism. That is what we call a win-win, kids. Pretty good. Let's see. What else happened in the draft last night? You know, I told you the Arizona Cardinals were desperate for a quarterback. They move up. They get UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen. You know, the New Orleans Saints, they traded away next year's first round pick to move up and take defensive end Marcus Davenport out of UT San Antonio. That's a big risk to me. You're basically saying that you think Davenport is better this year than anyone coming out next year? You know, I've got a feeling that like Clemson and Georgia and Alabama will have like 2 or 3 guys each that will be better than him. I don't know. I'm just guessing. And thinking about that, you know, once again, the biggest thing that stands out to me about the first round of this NFL draft is just how these super smart, analytical front office geniuses, they get into their own heads. And once again, they let emotion take over instead of logic. Let's just say, we were ranking the most talented pro potential players, regardless of position. Forget position. You're just ranking the best, most talented players in this draft. What would that look like? I mean, it would be like Saquon Barkley, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Bradley Chubb, Derwin James, Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edwards. How far down the list before we would put one of these quarterbacks? But there were 4 quarterbacks taken in the top 10 picks because we have to get our quarterback. No, you don't. You have to get a good quarterback, not a quarterback. It's a really, really big difference there. And for as intelligent as these guys are, we see it every single year as they reach and reach and reach for players that really don't belong there. Of course, we will be recapping the full NFL draft all next week. Coming back, we will have a brief weekend sports preview. Still want to give you a few things to watch. Plus, we will get to our Daily Dose top 5. You know, the NFL draft began last night. We saw a number of players get picked. We're still going to see a lot of action over the next 2 days. But we know that these NFL teams, as smart as they tell us they are, they still don't have this whole drafting thing down to a science yet, do they? Just a quick reminder that if you do have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows. your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme, it is now out. It's called Role Models. It features items from Arrested Development, from Archer, Deadpool, and The Punisher. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. And don't forget, Mother's Day is coming very, very quickly. Might want to head over to Loot Crate and see if you can't find something for, you know, that special mother in your life. Hey, you know, with the NFL draft taking place last night, we are just going to have a very, very brief weekend preview. Not going to do any of the picks this week. Just going to give you a couple of things to kind of keep in mind if you are looking for something to watch. We've actually got a lot of things to watch tonight. Got a number of games that you might want to tune in for. Starting at 5 p.m. tonight, we have the Toronto Raptors going to Washington to face the Wizards for game 6 in that series. Don't forget, Toronto is up 3-2. They finally have Washington on the ropes. Can they finish him off? Or is this heading to a game 7? At 6 p.m., same thing. We've got the Cleveland Cavaliers going to Indiana to face the Pacers. Cavs lead that series 3-2. Can they finish off the Pacers? Hey, we've seen Indiana. They have been in every single game so far. Can Cleveland finish them off tonight? Also at 6 p.m., do have a little bit of Stanley Cup playoffs going tonight as the Winnipeg Jets go to Nashville to face the Predators in game 1 of their series. We know Nashville, very complete team. They can do it all. Winnipeg can score. Can Winnipeg do anything to put some pressure on Nashville? Maybe look a little at what the Colorado Avalanche did and just see if they can outskate Nashville. Might be an interesting series. And finally, tonight at 7:30 Mountain Standard Time, you know all these times are Mountain Standard, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder going to Utah for game 6 of that series, in which Utah actually leads 3-2. The home team can put away the Thunder if they can just get a win tonight. Looking forward to tomorrow, 1 p.m., we have the Boston Bruins going to Tampa to face the Lightning in game 1 of that series. At 6 p.m., we have the San Jose Sharks going to Vegas for game 1 in that Stanley Cup series. They're just getting started. Also at 6 p.m., we will have now game 7 between the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks as the Bucks survive last night. And we get our first NBA game 7 of the playoffs. Hey, Saturday night, game 7, that's not too bad. And finally, tomorrow at 8:30 is the game that I want to see. The New Orleans Pelicans go to Golden State for game 1 against the Warriors. Hey, we just saw Jrue Holiday, Rajon Rondo, they put it to Portland. Can they do the same thing to Golden State? When does Steph come back? This might be a more interesting series than you might think. On Sunday, just a couple of things to tune in for. And of course, we do have baseball all weekend. You never know what's going to be going on there. But on Sunday, noon, NASCAR's at Talladega. If you want to see, I don't know, Ricky Bobby run. At 1 p.m., you've got the Pittsburgh Penguins going to Washington to face the Capitals for game 1 in the Stanley Cup playoffs there. And at 5, you've got Winnipeg going to Nashville for game 2 in that series. But keep in mind that we could have game 7s on Sunday in the 3 series that are going tonight. Toronto versus Washington, Cleveland versus Indiana, and Oklahoma City versus Utah. You know, if the right team wins, we could be seeing game 7s on Sunday and a bunch of those. So there is still plenty to watch, and we're going to have the NFL draft going all weekend. This is a great weekend to just sit on the couch and do nothing. But now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Because, of course, you know, like we talked about, the 2018 NFL draft began last night in Arlington. And, you know, every year we see the best of the best evaluating talent, making their selections based on team needs and film study and physical testing. And whether or not a player is, I don't know, a cat or a dog person or whatever stupid test they throw out. And every year, we see way more misses than we see hits, don't we? Not only do we see teams reach way too much, take players far too early, but we also see teams whiff completely on talent that they should be drafting, not taking players that they should be taking. We have seen a ton of players that have been missed completely. Think of some of the great players that were taken late in drafts. Tom Brady, not taken until the sixth round. And everyone can say now, oh yeah, we really like Tom Brady. Well, you didn't take him. Someone like Terrell Davis, lasting till the sixth round. There are a number of players like that. But today on the Daily Dose, we are actually going to be counting down the top five players that didn't get the call in the sixth round, or the seventh round, or the 11th round, or the 37th round. They went completely undrafted. Now, we do have a slight caveat, because we are going to look at the top five best undrafted players, but we're going to go Super Bowl era. Because I realize there were a number of players back in that earlier era that didn't get selected in the draft. But like the draft process wasn't quite the same. Like evaluating talent or even, you know, finding players that would play. Because remember, college football was far bigger than pro football. A lot of talented players were like, yeah, college is over. There's no such thing as pro football. That's not really a thing. And so you had players like Lou Groza or Dick Night Train Lane or Marion Motley. They were never drafted, but professional football at that time was completely different. So with that in mind, here are the best players that we have seen, believe it or not, that actually went completely undrafted in the NFL draft. Starting with number five. Now, originally, this guy was slated to attend Michigan State. He was planning to play football for Nick Saban and then play basketball for Tom Izzo. But then Nick Saban said he just wanted him to play football only. He didn't want to do that. So he transferred to Eastern Michigan and he would eventually end up at Kent State. And he played basketball. As a senior, he averaged 20 points and 8 rebounds a game. He was hoping to play in the NBA. But hey, at 6'4", it's not like he's big enough to play a power forward at the next level, right? So despite never having played college football, he was contacted by a few NFL teams and agreed to try out for the San Diego Chargers. He would eventually sign a free agent contract. He has now played 15 seasons, caught over 900 passes, has over 11,000 yards, and has scored 114 touchdowns. But hey, on draft day, nobody called Antonio Gates' name. He comes in at number five. Moving on to number four. You know, following his senior season at Louisville back in 1981, our number four entry went undrafted, but he was eventually signed to a free agent contract with Washington. But head coach Joe Gibbs, he had no idea who he was. He thought this guy was a defensive lineman, and when he found out that he was an offensive lineman, Gibbs actually chewed out offensive line coach Joe Bugel for bringing in yet another offensive lineman. We have enough of them. Stop bringing them in. But Joe Jacoby proved that he was definitely worth a spot on that roster. He would go on to play 170 games in the league. Jacoby was a four-time Pro Bowler, and he was a founding member of the Hogs. Remember the Hogs? That offensive line that led the Redskins to three Super Bowls, and here's the kicker, with three different quarterbacks. That's pretty impressive for an offensive line. You were doing something right if you had three different quarterbacks win Super Bowls. And think of those quarterbacks. Joe Theismann, Mark Rippon, Doug Williams. It's not like a great collection of quarterbacks there. That offensive line was pretty good, and Joe Jacoby was a big part of it. He comes in at number four. Moving on to number three. You know, he was only 6'1" and like 240 pounds. So there was no way a guy from a tiny school in Texas was going to get drafted to be a defensive lineman in the NFL. Of course, this guy went undrafted in the 1990 draft, but he got a tryout with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what did they say? The exact same thing. You're too small to play at this level. They cut him. But the Minnesota Vikings gave him a tryout and decided he was worth maybe a shot. Yeah, good thinking. Because John Randall added some more weight and went on to play 11 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings, then another three in Seattle. When he retired, he had logged 137 and a half sacks. John Randall was named to the Pro Bowl seven times, and he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2010. Again, I know these NFL teams are super smart. How do you miss on a guy like John Randall? Just a small school, I guess. Small guy. didn't realize what he was going to develop into. Sometimes we can't see that ceiling, can we? Moving on to number two. You know, you might think this guy was just in the right place at the right time in his NFL career, except that he kind of did it multiple times. He played his college football at Northern Iowa, but he went undrafted in 1994, but he got an invite to Green Bay to try out for the Packers. Of course, the Packers were stacked at quarterback, so he got cut. He went on to play a little bit of arena football before finally getting a shot with the St. Louis Rams. But even when he got on with the Rams, they allocated him to go play in NFL Europe. Then the Rams left him unprotected in the expansion draft, but the Cleveland Browns didn't take him. They took Scott Milanovic instead. So this guy became the backup to Trent Green in 1999. And when Green went down for the season with a knee injury, yes, it was Kurt Warner who led the greatest show on turf. Warner played 12 seasons in the NFL, threw for over 200 touchdowns. He completed over 65% of his passes for his career. Now you can sit there and say, okay, he won the Super Bowl title with the Rams, but he was just in the right place at the right time. Yeah, except he almost won another one with the Arizona Cardinals. You won one with the Rams, who don't win anything, and you almost won one with the Cardinals, who don't win anything. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Kurt Warner was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame just this past season. So who comes in at number one on our best players to go completely undrafted? He played his college football at the University of Washington. He led the Huskies to a Pac-8 title as a senior. So, I mean, probably wasn't about what he did in college, was it? Or that he went to a small school. He went to a big enough school. Washington's a good-sized school. He was 6'3 and 220. He could throw the ball better than anyone in the 1978 NFL draft. But he went completely undrafted. He decided instead to go play in Canada, where he would win 5 Grey Cups before finally coming back and joining the Houston Oilers. But Warren Moon would go on to play for 17 seasons in the NFL, and he threw for nearly 50,000 yards and 291 touchdowns. He was a 9-time Pro Bowler and elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2006. Now we can look at Warren Moon and say, why didn't he get drafted? Wrong college? Wrong style? You can sit there and say it's because of his race, but hey, Doug Williams got selected with the 17th overall pick out of Grambling that year. So I don't think it was just race. I think it was more of a style thing. You know, every year, we see players get missed by the so-called process that we have. And as much as we think this is an exact science that these experts have perfected, it is anything but that. And I promise you, we will see players missed again this year, because it happens every single year. Hey, it is Friday and we made it through another week. Next week, we of course will be back to discuss all of the happenings over the weekend. We will be recapping the entire NFL draft next week and keep you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports. Hey, I want to thank all of you for listening to The Daily Dose every day. I hope that you are enjoying it. Thank you so much for Erica for stopping by. We enjoyed your visit. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever it is that you listen. It is all very, very appreciated. I've said thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.